Love that song. If you have your Bibles here tonight, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 26, and we'll continue on the message from this morning. And so we talked this morning about the secret of His coming, talked about one sign of His coming, and tonight I will preach on the second sign of His coming out of Luke chapter 17. And we'll begin reading in verse 26, and you'll see some familiar verses as we read out of Matthew chapter 24 this morning. And we'll bring it together as we're continuing on through the thought about why Jesus hasn't come yet. And so these are some things. Just has to be more of Noah's day. Just has not been enough. Here in chapter 17 in Luke, verse 26, says, And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. We preached on that this morning. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot that they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Father, I come to the name of Jesus here this evening. I thank You for the reading of God's Word, the very thought that You've laid on our hearts to preach concerning the coming of our Lord. We pray, Father, to be understandable tonight, God, be very clear and very plain. God, help me, dear God, to preach in power, demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. Father, with conviction, yet with love. Father, give us help tonight, Lord. I pray You'll save the lost. I pray tonight, God, You'll touch the saved. I pray, Father, all of us tonight, God, will be drawn to You. God, that we give our lives completely to You. God, that we'll be ready when You do come. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we preach this morning concerning Noah, we talked about those things concerning what it was, eating and drinking. We're talking about the party scene. We talked about marriage and that it was just a business. We talked about there was no faith involved in Noah's day because Noah, the Bible says in chapter 7 of Genesis, verse 1, the Bible says that God saw the righteousness of Noah, and so he was reserved or preserved. And so we see that there was no faith amongst them, amongst those people. But here in the days of Lot, that is going to be our second sign that Jesus gives us in the way of talking about His coming, about Jesus coming to this earth and coming to in His way of second coming. And we just wonder why tonight? Why hasn't He already come? What is the holdup? What is stopping Him? Or what is He waiting for? What's next for it to happen? Well, we see another sign is the days of Lot. And we see that Jesus mentioned a few things. And once again, in the days of Lot, was some sort like the days of Noah. And that is that there was, there in verse 28, they eat and they drink. And so we find another party scene. We find another scene that is just like Noah's day, because they are of Noah's people, right? I mean, out of Noah came us and came them. Out of Lot, you find the same people. And with the same thought and the same mindset, it's all about party. It's all about eating and it's all about drinking. I mean, friend, that is where we are tonight. I'm not going to spend much time on that because we said a lot about that this morning. Just want to kind of get your mindset tonight. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of Lot in the way of partying. It's about a party. Everything's about party now. Everything's fun. Everything's easy. Everything's nice. Everything's going well. Everything's okay. Even when, for example, like the Texans tonight, I think they got whooped tonight. But I promise you, they're still tailgating and they're still drinking and they're still eating. Amen. It don't matter tonight. That's not going to stop anything. I notice sometimes even on a weather. I mean, I went to HEB to buy some water and everybody in Humble was in HEB that day. And they was buying fajita meat, they were buying all kinds of stuff, and one lady was behind me, and she had all the things that fajitas would require, like sour cream, and pico de gallo, and jalapenos, and, and all that kind of stuff. I said, I bet you're going to have some fajitas. Oh yeah, man, it's going to rain and storm and we're just going to have a party. It don't take much. I mean, you know, just anything, amen. A hurricane, tornado, a ball game, it don't matter. Just a Halloween party. I mean, it just don't matter. The drink and the eat is what it's all about. So a sign that Jesus is coming in the society in which we live, it's a party society. And tonight I think we see that. I think it's all around us. I think we understand it tonight. The second thing I want you to notice now is it a party scene, but I notice it's a busy scene. The Bible says in verse 28 that when Jesus comes, it's going to come when they bought and they sold, they planted and they builded. I mean, it's going to be a busy time. It's going to be people are buying and selling. The people are planning and people are getting and people are coming out of the planning. And I mean, there's this movement. There's going to be employment. There's going to be things going on. There's going to be the fastness of life. The pace of life's going to pick up as it was in the days of Lot. And friend, there's going to be really no time for family anymore. Really no time for friends anymore. No time for church anymore. I mean, listen, we're doing this, we're doing that. And friend, there's no doubt in the day in which we live today, it's a pretty busy day. I mean, everybody's busy. I mean, if we don't find something to do, we'll find it on the internet. Amen. We're surfing the internet. And we're keeping busy on that thing. And that will take a lot of hours of your life. And friend, we don't find on the internet, we'll go on the TV. We've got to be busy. How many people around here drives in their car with nothing going on? Not many anymore. Everybody's got to have a noise. I mean, turn the TV on. I don't like silence. Busy. We like to have something going on at all times. Everywhere you go, you'll find things are coming, things are going. You'll find today we live in a life, and we're living in a time today when things are busy everywhere. I don't even know where people... You go 2 o'clock in the morning, you go 4 o'clock in the morning, you go 3 o'clock in the evening, people are all on the freeways. I mean, people... What in the world are people doing at that time in the morning? I mean, it's just in and out. It's there. You go to the stores. It doesn't matter. We got 24-hour barbershops now. I mean, listen, there's 24-hour restaurants and 24-hour weight rooms and 24-hour businesses. And there's 24 hours of a lot of things, amen? And friend, it's just we need something to do 24 hours a day. And when Jesus said, He said, well, He's going to come like the days of Noah, and it's going to be a busy scene, it's going to be a party scene, but it's going to be a fearless scene. In verse 29, He says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Hey, friend, in the midst of all the pleasure that we're in the midst of all the prosperity that we're getting, and in the midst of all the people that's involved in our lives, in the days of Lot, the fire came, the brimstone came, and there was no fear. Today, there's no fear at all of judgment of God. There's no fear of you and I standing before God one day. There's no fear in a daily walk, in a daily life, that we're going to have to give an account of that day, of that word. We're going to have to give an account of everything that we've done. There's no fear of that anywhere. No fear, friend, that we've got to give an account of every word that we hear, every day that we give, and everything that God gives to us, we've got to give an account for it. There is no fear in the way we live today. People are living in fearlessness. I mean, listen, there's not accountability anywhere. There's no responsibility no more. Hey, friend, you know, if your house is a filthy wreck, so what? So is my neighbor's. Hey, man. I mean, listen, friend, you know, it doesn't even matter anymore whether you work or whether you don't work, because there's somebody else that ain't doing the same thing. And so we can find in our lives tonight, there's no fear of not being a husband or a wife as you are to be. There's no fear of being a member. No fear of being a mom and daddy like you ought to be a mom and daddy. There's no fear anymore that you got to give an account of the things you do and the things you say and the deeds that you have. Friend, there's a fearlessness about this society today. Just like it was in the days of Lot. So we find the party scene. We find the busy scene. We find the fearless scene. But I notice as it was in the days of Noah, it's also in the days of Lot, we find a final scene. He says there in the days of Noah, there in verse 27, he said, he destroyed them all. I notice in verse 29, the same phrase is used with the days of Lot. He destroyed them all. Can I say, friend, when we think that we're okay because we're busy, we think we're okay because we're partying, we're okay because we're fearless, we're okay today because we have a marriage that's just a business transaction, and today we live without faith. Can I tell you, both of those groups were destroyed. And friend, the days that Jesus comes, is that group's going to get destroyed too. Destruction comes after these kind of societies. And so we find tonight the days of Lot. I want to show you a second thing I want you to notice about the things about Lot is why did these people get destroyed? Why was it tonight that Sodom and Gomorrah, why was it destroyed? Some people say, well, because of the homosexual acts that were done there, and surely they were. Some people say, well, because of all the wickedness that was brought there, and surely that was. But I want you to look in Genesis, chapter 18 tonight, and I want to say that the reason why the destruction came to Sodom and Gomorrah as well as the days of Noah was just because of sin. That's why. We got to stop just kind of messing around with this thought of sin tonight. We want to say it's a lot of things tonight. Why don't we just say sin is sin tonight? And the wages of sin is death tonight. And every sin will be punished, and every sin will find a payment, and every sin will require a blood. And every sin that God has come upon has been an offense to Him, and God will have vengeance on sin. We find in the days of Lot why they got destroyed. I want you to look there in verse 18, verse 23. It says, "And Abraham drew near and said, Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Good question. Very good question. Peradventure, there are 50 righteous within the city. Now we're talking about a city of thousands of millions of people. And Abraham said, well, Lord, if there's 50 righteous within the city, will thou also destroy nor spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And the Bible says in verse 25, that be far from thee to do that after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And so God is, and Abraham's having a conversation, and Abraham's saying, listen, if there's 50 righteous within the city of thousands and millions of people, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, no. Go to verse 32. Because the conversation took place and continued on. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but once, this once, preadventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. So God is saying with Abraham, Abraham was presenting to God, God, if there is 10 righteous men or women inside of Sodom of a million people, thousands of people, will you not destroy it? He said, listen, Abraham, if there's 10 righteous within the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, I will spare it. But then look in verse 33. And the Lord went His way, and as soon as He had left communing with Abraham, Abraham returned unto his place. The next chapter, you find the destruction of Lot. Amen. In the days of Lot was consumed with fire and brimstone. Why? Because there just wasn't 10 righteous people amongst in Sodom and Gomorrah. So why did Sodom and Gomorrah get destroyed? Because of wicked sin. That's why. And God said, Jesus said, that in my days when I'm coming back, it's going to be as the days of Lot, where there's very few righteous, very few saved, very few that are justified, very few that are living for me, very few that know who I am, very few that went through the blood of my Lamb. Oh, very few that turned from their sin and turned from their wicked ways and trusted me. Very few. Oh, the disciples asked Jesus, and who then can be saved? And Jesus said, a few. A few shall be saved. It's a scary thought. To think tonight in such a crowd as we have tonight, there's only a few saved. Wow. So we find, why did God destroy them? Because it was wicked. That's right. Oh, I'll tell you the second thing, though, in Genesis chapter 19, we can read it was abominable. We find some verses that really disturb me tonight, but yet it's just like the days in which we live. I believe we live in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. As we come and look at the Scripture here in chapter 19, and we find in verse 1, it says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them, and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray, in your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, Nay, but we shall abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, turned them into him, and entered into his house, and made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young." That's important tonight. Not only shall it be today where there's young men that are of this Sodomite, but the old. So from the young all the way up to the old. He said to the people there in verse 4, he said, "And all the people from every quarter." So we're talking about a good group of people. There was not even 10, so we could say a lot of them. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." That's a sexual term. We may know them sexually. We may know men, may know men sexually. Abominable. For a man to lie with a man is an abomination, the Bible teaches. These men were looking for men. "And Lot went out at the door unto him and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren." Now he's calling these Sodomites brethren. He says, "Do not so wickedly." Well, there's that wickedness I talked about. "And behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man." So you saying, okay, brother, because there's a lot of controversy with that statement I just made a while ago. That word "no" is a sexual term. And yet we use the same word in this context with Lot speaking that his daughters have not known man. I guess they've never met a man in their whole life. I guess they've never been introduced to a man. I guess a man's never known them, never have talked to them, never has said a word to them, never had any kind of conversation with the man. These two girls here have never, ever had any kind of contact with men in all their lives. That's a foolish thought. What it's saying is Lot saying, I got two girls who's never had a sexual relationship with a man. That's what it's saying. He says, "Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to them as it is good in your eyes." Shame on Lot. "Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn. He will needs be a judge, and now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, yet even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door." They were getting violent. That's what they do. Cause violence. And they were pushing the issue. Lot said, "No, I got a girl here. I got two girls here. And man, what a man can do with a woman." And yet they refuse a woman. A man refused a woman. It reminds me of Romans chapter 1. When men had no use for a woman. It's called homosexuality. What I prefer to call it is sodomites. That's what I call it when I talk about it. They get really, in my work, they get really uncomfortable when this subject is brought up. I cut no slack of any kind. They're sodomites. That's what God called them. Called them sodomites. Men that want to be with men are sodomites tonight. And this is where we get the phrase from it. And so we find it's an abominable. But I could look, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. Now we're trying to show you tonight the second sign when Jesus comes, how the world's going to be. What's it going to look like? It's going to be a party scene. It's going to be a busy scene. It's going to be a fearless scene. Nobody's worried about God or judgment. And then it's going to be a final scene because of wickedness, of course. And then it's going to be because of this abomination that runs and ruling the whole place. We find today that's the case. That this thing about sodomites and this thing about their agenda is there are very few of them, but they're trying to run, and they are. Right now, they're trying to decide. Now, listen, we was talking about this over lunch today. Why are we having a conversation tonight about a man going into a woman's restroom? Why is that a conversation? That has absolutely nothing to do with nothing. It is known that if a man goes into a woman's restroom, he is to get out, dragged out, pushed out, whatever it may be. I'm telling you, if a man goes in the restroom where my wife and my daughter is at, and they let me know, there will be another man in the woman's restroom removing a man from a woman's restroom. He goes where I go, but he's going to have a fight on his hands. I hear of a woman in our church is in a restroom. And Fred, if you're a man in here and I catch you in a woman's restroom, we're going to have real trouble, amen? Ain't going to happen. It might happen for just a second or two. I'm confused with this whole world in which they're talking today. Why are we even voting on something like that? I mean, there's just some things, friend, that's an abomination, and that's one of them. But when you have an abomination of a mayor who's a sodomite herself, what do you expect? For you Stonians who voted her in, this is what you got. I know what you're thinking. By the way, that was just unnecessary. You didn't have to go that far. Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So why did God destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Not because they were only wicked, but they were abominable, but they were ungodly. Nothing in Sodom was godly. And Jesus said, when I come back, I will come back to a society that will be just like the days of Lot. Full of ungodliness, full of abominations, full of wickedness. I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. He said, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversations of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day after the unlawful deeds. Can I say tonight that the times and the lives of Sodom and Gomorrah were vexing? I just say this tonight. If the days that we live in today are not vexing to you, friend, then you are far. The ungodliness and the abominations and for the wickedness of this day. Every Christian in this room ought to have a vexation within their heart. That word vexation means torture, and it means torment. It ought to be a pain in you, dear Christian, in the days in which we live, in the days of Lot tonight. And Fred, it just bothers me, and it moves me to know that a Christian tonight can look at TV and watch TV and watch the homosexuals that are on TV and watch the adultery and watch all the wickedness and ungodliness that's running through that TV and sit there under the Christian name of God and tell me that you're a lover of Christ and you're a hater of sin and you'll watch it and you like it and you laugh at it and you got pleasure with it. Something's wrong. That's not vexation. How do you do that? Oh, you tell me you're against homosexuality, but you watch it on TV. You're a hypocrite. You tell me that you're against adultery, but yet you'll watch it on TV. You tell me you're against drunkenness and drug addict and murder and violence, but yet you'll watch it on TV and you enjoy it and you do it for hours at a time. You're a hypocrite.
You are a hypocrite tonight. Lot was one in the midst of it. And the Bible says that his soul was vexed daily. How much vexing is going on in our lives today? See, we'll walk right out of here tonight. We'll go have us a chip and a dip and a piece of cake. And we'll have a little fellowship. And boy, I appreciate that. I'm not demeaning that at all. And we'll go right back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And there ain't much vexing going on in our hearts. Oh, Jesus said when He comes, He's going to come in the days as Noah and as the days of Lot. The third thing I want you to notice tonight is also as the days of self. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. You say, brother, why are you preaching all this? Because the kingdoms that began with Babylon and Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 7, He showed us a kingdom of God or kingdom of Christ. Well, something's got to take place between the two kingdoms. And sure enough, this is what's taking place. I'm trying to fill in the gaps tonight so you can have some sort of idea where we are concerning His coming tonight. The thing I want to show you tonight is the days of self. And man, we live in a day of self, don't we? I mean, we are selfies upon selfies. They've got special cameras that you can hold at a distance, and it's remote control because you can have all kinds of angles. Man, I mean, they got it going on. I mean, it's all coming. You go to they showed the other day at this place, and it was on the news, and they're talking about this selfie, and there was like 10 or 15 young people sitting there, and I think it was a ball game, and all of them were doing selfies. It's a selfie thing. I mean, we got iPads. We got iPhones. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that I'm not phone. I guess I don't know if you use that word hip anymore. But I'm not to it, or I'll use another word that might help you, groovy. You ever remember that word? You remember that word, Brother David? People say, man, that's groovy. That's the same word they use now, it's cool. See, I'm up on time. Y'all think I'm old fashioned. So we find today that self is mighty important. Matter of fact, our churches have gone to the self preaching. We find today that counseling and counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists now have determined that their counseling is going to be around self. It's about the person. It's about the reason why that they don't like nobody is because when they were young, their mom or their daddy ran over their puppy. And so now their psyche's warped. I'm not getting that at all. I mean, when I was growing up, my dad got so mad at me. He was working on a fence. He got so mad at me, he took a 2x4 and chased me for 30 minutes trying to hit me with it. He swung at me 3 or 4 times. Man, if I wasn't fast, and I jumped over a 6-foot fence, Aiden, just on the run. Because if I didn't, I was going to get hurt. Yeah. I'm just telling you right now. Now, if I took that incident and took that situation and I brought it to today, and I would say, you know, I just can't cope with the world. I just can't function with the thing. They say, well, how come? I say, well, my dad took a 2x4 and he chased me for 30 minutes trying to hit me, swung at me 3 times, but 4 times, and had to jump over a wooden fence. They would say, okay, that's your problem. See, because it's about self. And in order for me to be where I am today, somebody else has had to get me there. I can't be where I am because of me. That would be disrespecting me. You see, we live in a society today that don't respect me. I mean, don't disrespect me. We hear it all the time. You disrespected me. You disrespected me. You know, my dad, I should turn around and say, Daddy, you're disrespecting me right now with that 2x4. I'd had splinters in my mouth. Oh, but today it's about self and selfies. And look at the Scripture. And I'm not going to be long because we got other big and bad things ahead of us. And so what we do find here in Timothy tonight, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look there in verse 1, the Bible says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now what is perilous times? Perilous times are difficult and dangerous times. Boy, we're knowing that, ain't we? We're saying, boy, listen, brother, you ain't tell me anything about dangerous. You don't tell me anything about difficult. You know where I'm at and where I'm facing. Boy, it is difficult days. Matter of fact, these are some of the most difficult days I've ever lived in my life. And if you look on anywhere, somebody was saying today, they don't like to look on the TV or listen to the news because what they hear, they don't want to hear because it's always a bad. Dangerous. But look what the Bible teaches about the last days when Jesus is going to come. He says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. They tell me the Bible's out of date. I'm telling you, they're just catching up to the Bible. The Bible's been way ahead of this guy's. So we find that they're going to be lovers of themselves. I mean, the Bible says they're not likers of themselves. They're saying they're lovers of their own selves. I mean, he hits really to the very heart, don't he? He don't say that they're going to prefer themselves above somebody else. He don't say he's going to like them. He don't say that they're going to be persuaded. No, he says they're going to be lovers. Lovers of themselves. You know how you know somebody's a lover of themselves? It's about them. It's about them. I mean, it's all about them. It's how they look. It's what they say. It's the image that they portray. When you start telling them who they really are, they get mad at you. That's how you can tell us about them. Because see, a man that is wise will look at one and say, please tell me how I really am, because the Bible says that the wise get wiser. The Bible also says that the righteous receive instruction and get smarter, but then you've gained a friend. The Bible says a fool will rebuke you for that. So those who are just about themselves, you can't tell them about themselves. Because when you begin to tell them about themselves, they get mad at you for telling them the truth. So if we find in our life in which we live, it's very difficult. Oh, that's what it says. In the last days there shall be difficult times. You know why the times are difficult? Because of self. See, you thought it was something else, didn't you? When I said it was difficult times and dangerous times, you just think about all the wars and all the killings and all the money that we don't have and all the high prices of light bill and food and all that. But that's not what's dangerous and that's not what's difficult. That's been going on for a lot of years. You know what's difficult and dangerous? Because self is elevated. That's dangerous. And that's difficult. See, you can't hardly talk to nobody anymore. There's no longer conversation anymore. To get face to face and to get man to man, to get eyeball to eyeball, is almost impossible these days. Through this social media thing like the Facebook. I mean, you know what? I don't have Facebook, and I wish the world was never introduced to Facebook. I think it's the most horrible thing that anything that everybody could think of. And that guy who has Facebook is a rich man. But I'm telling you, it has wrecked homes, it's wrecked lives, people that are busybodies, people that are gossipers, they feed on that like bottom feeders. Hey friend, they like it. They get all the junk on everybody. Hey friend, we're talking about it today. Friend, if you want to know where somebody's going, they'll tell you. Oh yeah, me and old Bubba Roo, we're going down to the wings and things and on Friday night and then we're going to go to the football game and yeah, we won't be home till late that evening. Okay, well good, we know exactly where you're going. Hi, just had a birthday, I'm 17 years old. Okay, now we know you're 17. I mean, it's just on and on and on. These people are just given all this information and all this thing because it's all about them. And it's all, they have no consequences of any type. They don't care about what people know about them. And friend, they're all in everybody's stuff because it's all about what I know and what I get. Selfie. Selfie. Sister, selfie. Brother, selfie. We find tonight lovers of their own selves. And because you're lovers of self, and we're not going to go through all these here, but you become covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents is all about being selfish. If you're disobedient to your parents today, it's because all you think about is you. If you talk back, if you cuss at your mom and daddy, if you don't do what they ask you to do, you are pathetic tonight. And you are selfish. That's all you are. You say, brother, I don't like that. Well, if you'll take it, it'll help you. Yeah. Matter of fact, the Bible says, he that honors mother and father, they'll have long life. So you want a short life? Just keep on acting the way you're acting. I know in my day when I was growing up, if I did what some of these others do, and I talked to my parents like some of these others talk and don't do what I was told to do, my life would have ended a while back. There was none of this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you better quit it. If you don't quit it, listen, you're no longer going to get a lollipop. My dad said, listen, son, he said, I tell you one time, and after one time, it's on. There's none of this three-chance stuff. I don't know. I guess today, Dr. Spock has convinced people today that whippings are wicked. Whippings are biblical. If you want to save a soul from hell, whip your child. Amen, Brother Larry. I know it's another subject for another day, but I'll be on it. I think we need it. I think our children are running rampant over us. I think tonight that children are running the insane asylum. I think the prisoners are controlling the prison. I think today it's all about children. The parents, there used to be a saying, you're not to be heard, you're to be seen. Yeah. We don't ask your opinion whether you want on your hamburger, if you want lettuce, tomato, or onions, or pickles. You get a hamburger and you eat what I order. Was anybody else raised that way, or am I just kind of some foreign alien? I mean, y'all looking at me like, man, Brother Larry, you done fell off some sort of cart somewhere down back there in the World War II or something. What we find tonight, covetous and boasters and disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers in verse 3, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what all that stems from? Self. You know what that brings? That brings danger into our home. That brings danger and difficulty into our lives. And it brings danger and difficulty into our church. And in the days that Jesus comes, it's going to be a day of self. Yeah. Day of self. See, all these things that were mentioned here is just a fruit of the root of self. Many times what we try to do is we try to attack the fruit. Now, does this make sense tonight? Let's just use a simple illustration like an apple tree. This apple tree, I want to remove. I don't like it no more. I want to get rid of the apple tree. So I go and get a hatchet and I beat the snot out of the apple. And I'm going to get rid of the tree. That ain't going to happen, is it? We do the same thing. We got a child who's disobedient to mom and daddy. And so we say to the child, child, there must be reasons why you're disobedient. And so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to just treat you a little better. And I know it's mom and daddy's fault. And you know, I didn't do well when I was younger as a parent. And now you've grown up and I've caused you to be that way. And I take full responsibility that you're just a brat and that you are just one that has gotten their way all the time. And now you're just out of control. It's me, mom and daddy, who has built this monster. And this monster is now taking over my house. And yet not one time has anybody just set down the fruit and said, the reason why you're the fruit of disobeying your mom and daddy, because you got a root of a wicked heart. That's why you disobey. That makes sense tonight. And that's the reason when Jesus comes, He says, I'm going to come, and the world of society is just going to be about self. And all the fruit of that will be just without its red. And so we find tonight, I hope we see that maybe why hasn't Jesus already come then? We're living pretty much in an I society. Well, I tell you why He hasn't come, because in the days of Noah, it's just going to have to get worse. In the days of Lot, it's just going to have to get worse. And in the days of self, it's just going to have to get worse. Amen? It says in verse 7, and I got a few more minutes, we should only be starting right now. All right? So we're really only 2 minutes into the service tonight. I'm going to tell you, according to Scripture tonight, these people who are lovers of self and who have these other things that just come about their lives, the Bible says that they don't know God. The Bible says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Does it not say that? That means they're lost. That means everyone tonight that has lovers of self, or covetous, or boasters, or proud, and traitors, and heady, and high-minded, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, are people who ever learn, they're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't know God. What's that? So when you're in love with yourself, you idolize yourself, you can't have two masters. It's either you or God. That's why self must be crucified. That's why Paul said, I die daily. That's why today you must come to the end of yourself in order to get saved. Self. And we find also the second thing is that they have resisted the truth in verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. Friend, you'll find nobody saved there. You can't be saved with a reprobate concerning the faith. The word reprobate tonight, it would mean an unapproved and a rejected faith. And why would God reject their faith? And why would God unapprove their faith? Because they have corrupt minds. You remember back in the days of Noah? They corrupted the earth. How did they corrupt the earth? Because of their corrupted ways. They were wicked. Friend, these people in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy are not saved Christians going to church. They're lost people who know not God because their faith is reprobate. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're talking about people who really think they're saved. And friend, they're selfish. They're self-flattering. They're self-important. They're self-conceited. They're self-sufficient. They're self-promoted. They're self-righteous, they're self-interested, and they're self-satisfied, and they're self-willed. That describes that whole list. Self. I say here, thirdly, that they reveal that they don't know God, because the Bible says, as long as you believe, you'll find that you won't be part of that group. But those who have faith that is reprobate, you'll find they'll be part of it. And look at verse 9. But they shall all proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as there also was. God will stop them. As God stopped them in the days of Noah, remember the flood? As God stopped them in the days of Lot, remember the fire? God will stop them in the days of self. They'll go no further. When Jesus comes, these are some of the signs of His coming. And then can I tell you tonight, there's going to be the days of teachers. Now, this is talking about the church now. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I want you to notice, number one, concerning the church, when Jesus comes, what kind of condition will the church be in? Well, this is the condition. The church is catering to the hearers' lust. That's what it says. The Bible says, look at verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, when Jesus comes back, it will be a church that has no preaching. Because see, in verse 2, it says, preach the word. Well, what is involved in preaching? Reprove. Man, we don't like to be reproved. Hey, what else is involved in preaching? Rebuke. Man, who likes to be rebuked? Who likes to be told they're wrong and corrected? People don't like preaching like that anymore. That's why our church is just the select few. And people say, well, Brother Larry, your church will never grow. That's okay as long as you grow. That's all I'm concerned about, amen, is that you grow. And all I'm concerned about is when Jesus comes, amen, that you knew that He was coming. And you knew the signs of His coming. You knew that it was secret. But yet you also know that He's coming when nobody thinks He's coming. And yet you know the signs of Noah, the signs of Lot, the signs of self, and the signs of teachers in the church. Everybody wants a teacher. Everybody wants somebody just to tell them a story. Everybody just wants somebody not to raise your voice and stop sweating and stop spitting and stop moving around and just be calm and slow your roll and just tell us in a 30-minute sermonette and just give us some instruction by the way of some knowledge and that don't hurt our feelings by rebuking us, by reproving us, by exhorting us with all long-suffering and in doctrine. We're not interested in the teachings. We're interested in how we can make ourselves better. We're interested in how we can get along with one another. We're interested in how we're going to feed the hungry and how we're going to clothe the naked and how we're going to help the less fortunate and how we're going to bring the drug addicts out of drugs and the alcoholics from the alcohol and the harlots from sex. And we're all concerned about how we're going to be humanitarians rather than being Christians. And so we're living in a day where Jesus says, the last days, the church will be catering to those who are lusting for teachers. Oh, we find it. We find it today. Oh, we find it. Oh, can I just say this morning or this evening? I don't know how much longer that God will allow me to have the privilege of preaching. How much longer God would give me the honor of pastoring. As long as I'm behind the pulpit, and as long as I got the King James Version Bible, and as long as I'm in my right mind, and as long as I can still speak, and as long as I can still do as God will have me to do, there will be preaching from this pulpit. We may be one, and we may be two, but there will be preaching from right here. So when Jesus comes, I want to be well known that I can look at Him in the face and say, Lord, I didn't succumb to catering to the lust of the hearers. Man, that ought to make somebody in here proud to know that they can be part of a church with a pastor who's just decided that we're just going to preach. And preaching is part of reproving and rebuking and exhorting. And so we find in the Scripture that there's coming a time with just teachers having itching ears, and that's what they want. Hey, they want just teaching. They want their ears tickled. They want to feel good. They want to know everything as well. That's what people want. When they come to church here, when they leave out of here, they want to feel good. I mean, listen, friend, when you church is not... I got 5 minutes. Church is not to babysit your children. Church is not here to entertain your teenagers. We're not here to set up singing courses and classes and so that you become a well singer. We're not here to take the divorced and take the addicts and take some other sect of society and specially keep our minds and hearts on them so that they won't get back in the same condition that they were before. The church is not here to marry people. We're not here to bury people. The church today is not to the place where we are here for you to come in and to get your psyche rubbed. My job is not to, when you leave out of here, that you feel better about yourself than when you came in. That's not my job. That might be your psychiatrist or your psychologist, but it's not your pastor. My job is not when you walk in here, you're down and confused and disturbed, and when you walk out of here, everything's just perfect right now. Only God can do that. Brother Larry can. My job, according to the Scripture, is to preach the Word. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and what? And doctrine. Yeah. That's the pastor you want, I believe. That's the one that you would kind of hang on with. It's the one that just keeps up the Word. But you know, tonight, churches have become just places of businesses that has incorporated tons of different personalities and talents and business skills and business abilities, and we put it into a pot, and now we have success and we have unsuccessful. And the successful is the ones who have all the plans and all the properties and all the powers and all the money and all the social events and all the football, baseball players and all the things for students and all the things for children and choirs and all these concerts and all that. That's the success today of churches. Then the unsuccessful churches are those that are small, who don't have choirs, who don't have youth, who don't have anything, and they're dwindling, and people are just learning and growing in the Lord. They're becoming like Jesus. Remember the unsuccessful ones. Oh, when Jesus comes, the church is going to be catering to those tonight who don't want preaching. They just want teaching. They want it without doctrine. Verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want doctrine. Truth is offensive. Truth is not politically correct. And truth is final. The church don't want that today. This church may, but as general, the church don't. Thirdly, they adhere to fables. They will turn to myths. They will turn to fiction. They will turn to tales. And you're saying, well, like what, Brother Larry? Well, people are real quick today to turn the TV on and go to church. Let me ask you a question. Next time you want to go shopping, dear lady, just turn to the shopping. See how that works out for you. Next time you want to go fishing, dear sir, just turn on the fishing show. See how well you catch. Is that true? People want to go to church, they turn on channel 20 or whatever. And they think they went to church. You didn't go to church. You didn't go to church. I mean, all that I know about church, I don't know anybody on TV that is church. We got one just real close to us. They shut down all day long because there was some rain, continuous. A 24-hour rain, so they shut down the church. Yeah, I just say who it is. It's the Oasis of Love. I mean, listen, people, preacher get up here and preach. And after the service tonight, some of y'all probably get on the internet. When you get on the internet, you look up that what Brother Larry's talking about the end of times, the days of Lot, the days of Noah, the days of self, and the days of teachers. You look on the internet and you might find something different than what I'm saying tonight. And you'll listen to that tale rather than listen to what I say. It happens. It happens. People say, Brother Larry, you're reading the Bible, but I'm reading the book from John MacArthur. And John MacArthur says this and says that. And now you're testing me after I'm reading the Bible and you're reading John MacArthur. What is that? People turn from the truth, but they'll turn unto fables.
They'll turn on the men's word, on the text.
Amen? I mean, I had some. I preach the Word of God. They come to me the next time and say, my mama said. My mama said. I said, well, you just invite your mama to come to church. I'm telling you, man, it's ridiculous. You read out of the Bible, you preach the truth, and they go look for another source of truth. There's only one truth. And what you get out of the Bible is all you're going to get is truth. Everything else is not truth. But I know, I'm a preacher of opinions. I've been told that all my 20 years of preaching. Brother Larry, you preach your opinions. My opinions. If you think that, bless your little heart. The only problem is, I've got my opinions from here. You think I come up with this stuff? I can't. Some people say, you know, they say it like this, and I say to myself, I'm dumber than a rock. Wouldn't God give me anything, I wouldn't have nothing. Man, I just believe the Bible. I'm nothing. I can do nothing without Him. Whatever I've got, He's given it to me. If you want to call it an opinion, that's fine with me. I'm just going to call it a truth. So, the kingdom of Daniel, of Babylon, to the kingdom of Christ in chapter 7, all in the middle. And that's what we heard this day. And I hope tonight you've learned some things that help you be more sensitive on the days in which we live. How much closer is Jesus today? Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you come back Wednesday, I'll continue. I won't say I'll finish. But I will continue. Well, God's helped me with these messages today. God's given me help today. The Lord's just so right. Yeah. Tonight, it's not how you run the race. It's how you finish the race. Tonight, I encourage each one of y'all to be more concerned about finishing than running. Oh, just make it determination in your heart that I'm just going to finish the race that God put you in. But I'll not stop until I see His face. I'll not quit. I'll not run to be disqualified. I'll run. And I'll run hard. And I'll run long. And I'll keep on going. Don't matter how the days of Noah and the days of Lot and days of self and days of teacher know how it gets, I'm still going to just look to Jesus. If you don't have that in your heart tonight, you're going to fail. Because they're going to be persuasive. And you'll be right in.